phone number is 905-338-1250. In the studio with Richard James, who is the High Priest of the Wiccan Church of Canada. And we're going to now open up the phone lines to you folks to get your questions for Richard. Hi, who's this?
This is Peter.
Peter, this is Richard. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a couple of questions. Do you guys believe in taxes?
Yes, it's very hard to avoid them.
No, but do you believe in them?
I think that everybody has to make their contributions to society, and if paying taxes is
believing
the way of...
Right, we pay them.
Yeah.
We don't believe in them. I don't believe I should be taxed. I don't think you do either. But we do pay them.
Right, so what's your point? Bring it home.
My point was, he said he doesn't believe in the God of the Bible. Neither did I, until I read the Bible and started paying attention to other things out there going, like, wait a minute, how does this happen if God doesn't really exist, and so on and so forth.
So are you saying that Richard should read the Bible? Is that your point?
Well, yeah, he should. I mean, everyone should. God only wrote one book, and I think he wants everyone to, to read it at
I've
some point
that
in their lives.
So many times before, yeah. It's so boring.
What's that?
He's saying that he's heard that many, many times. Like, you're not saying anything new to him.
And the thing is I don't want to become contentious, but there's a couple of points you guys said, or a couple of statements you said that were just so untrue.
Which was?
One, he said that praying is like casting a spell.
Okay.
Who told you that?
Well,
like, that is so different. You may have been led to believe that it's casting a spell and that you're not worshiping, you know, evil spirits, which all evil spirits emanate from the devil.
Right. So you're speaking from a biblical worldview, and you're talking to someone who does not have a biblical worldview. So what you're doing is you're basically talking Chinese. He's not understanding. Like, literally, his head is to one side, and he's kind of going,
right. Okay.
What are you talking about?
Let me try and explain it in a different way.
Okay.
If I don't believe in taxes, and I don't, but I still pay them, let me try to stop paying them.
I believe in taxes, by the way. I think they're necessary.
Right, but they will all suffer the consequences of not doing something that I didn't believe in. My prayer for you is that you don't have to suffer the consequences for something you believe in that is actually in error. Like, what you believe is so totally wrong, yet you being deceived little by little, worldview, secularism, whatever way it took you to get to that point, you're not being told the truth.
Right. So do you have any questions for Richard?
Yeah. Who exactly is it that you worship besides these various gods, the baker god and the blacksmith god and so on and so forth?
Right. Okay. All right. We'll leave you with that. I appreciate your question. Thank you. Who do you worship?
Well, the baker god and the blacksmith god are two out of thousands.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you believe in, now this is called pantheism, is it? No, pantheism, this is called plural. No, what? Come on, there's lots of words here. Let's bring them all out.
The word polytheism is
polytheism,
probably,
there we go.
Although, pantheism is right on the edge of what we do, too, in that pantheism is the worship of everything. And
so if you're worshiping everything, are you worshiping yourself?
There is a whole lot of good theology that says that the deity is somewhere inside you, and you have to go looking for it in order to attempt to behave
right.
The way the deity inside you needs you to behave.
Right. Okay, so there's a pantheistic aspect. There's a, what was that other word again?
Polytheism.
There we go, polytheism. And then there's, what about a panentheist response to this?
We have a lot of sympathy for that idea, too.
Right, right. You know how someone is going to say, you know what, this is the right country for you, because Canada is accepting of everything to a fault.
Not to a fault.
No, well, that's where I'm going. That's what I'm saying. This is a good country for you, because you guys seem to be very, hey, whatever you believe is okay, and whatever I believe is okay, and let's just all get together and hug a whale, right? Or kiss a tree, sorry, whatever. You know what I mean? There seems to, what's that word, universalist or ecumenist or...
No, humanism is all about saying we don't need deity.
Okay.
We're humans, and we can function well just as humans.
All right, take another caller. Hi, who's this?
This is Michael.
Michael, this is Richard. Go ahead.
Yes. I guess It sounds like a light question, but it isn't really. What's your view of Halloween? So for some of us, you know, we think it's fun time to scare people and all that. And for some Christians, they think it's, satanic.
Good question, because I think this is obviously why we have you on the show on October 28th. Where's the Wiccan Church at with Halloween? It happens to be a holy day in the calendar, is that right? Or?
Absolutely. It started out as Samhain. You can spell it S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but it's pronounced Samhain. And it is the old Celtic celebration of death. And it's a time that the leaves are falling off the trees and everything seems to be dying and it's time to slaughter animals and that kind of thing. And 11 days later, of course, there's the Canadian National Celebration of the War Dead. Everything right now reminds us of
everything's dying.
Death. Yeah. And so it's a time to celebrate our memory of our ancestors, and celebrating that, of course, is our memory of our history. Because if you don't remember your history, you'll probably make the same mistakes again. Mm-hmm. So it's really valuable to honor the dead and at the same time honor the gods of death.
I understood that in the Celtic world that spirits would visit people's houses and you leave gifts for these spirits that haunt you or something.
Well, haunt is kind of a loaded word. We invite the spirits of the dead to come and have one last party with us. If that's a haunting, then so be it. But it's not a unpleasant experience at all.
So it's a joyous experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's say I have loved ones who have deceased, and I have one of these times where I say, hey, come on back and party with me, and I'm now partying with my ex-loved ones.
Yes.
Okay.
Whereas I just think, little kids and, just think it's, fun and, make fun of evil, or if, any of you approve of that, or any, just for a lot of people, it's, nothing really.
Well, I think the whole get dressed up and go trick-or-treating thing is certainly, it traces historically to the whole idea of inviting the dead for one last party, but it's going through quite a number of changes in the process, and I don't see anything wrong with it. Kids have fun, and I'm all in favor of kids having fun.
Right. Michael, thank you for your call, mate. Thank you very
much. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye. 905-338-1250, taking your calls and your questions for Richard, and we'll go to another caller. Hi, who's this?
Is that me?
Yes.
Hi, it's Roger.
How you doing, man?
Well, how are you doing?
Very good, very good. Richard, Roger, Roger, Richard.
Hello, gentlemen. Hello, Richard. Good to see you, or hear you.
Wow.
This is it's an interesting show here. I was one of those religious searcher types who asked practitioners of countless religions and lifestyles about beliefs and practices and so on. And Wicca was one that I missed out on. So went to your website here, and I looked at the Articles of Faith. That's sort of what jumped out at me, being a Bible nut. And just three of them, it's 12 points, so three of them kind of real quickly here. You have number 2, portions of self-awareness within the universe may be called gods. The number of gods in the universe is in principle unknowable. And number 7, questions about the origin of the universe are inherently unanswerable. And number 11, it says religious experience is totally subjective, and thus nobody can judge the quality of another's encounter with the gods. Sounds to me like obviously the Jesus of recorded history would disagree with a few points there. But when I look at our religion, we have Jesus, claimed to be God, did miracles and so on, left evidence that persuaded lawyers and judges. And I'm wondering, you make some grand ultimate claims of the universe here, like saying things are unknowable and so on, and can't be judged. How do you know it's true? Like, what's your evidence or your authority to declare these ultimate truths?
Richard, I thought that was a good question from Roger. Go ahead.
Well, by inherently unknowable, what we mean is they can't be demonstrated by any kind of objective means, or at least nobody's managed to come anywhere near it yet, so much so that we think that it just can't be done.
how the universe started is a matter of, well, somebody, people say there was a Big Bang, and then some people say that, well, something had to cause the Big Bang and something before that, whatever. We can get closer and closer to something that we might call the prime causative thing, but what caused everything to fall out the way it is just something that, because our little brains are finite, our little brains can't encompass all of the details of the infinite.
Okay, yeah, maybe we can't answer all questions about something. I can go along with that. But it is a declaration, for instance, that when Jesus declared who created the universe, and when he said that there was only one God, you're saying that he couldn't know that.
That is correct. The Bible is fiction.
Now, what I'm saying is, how, what's your authority for declaring? You just say, well, scientists can't prove how it's created. What's your authority for claiming that he can't know what he's talking about? Like, it just seems to me it's your point number 11. It's just the result of your personal religious experience, and it's totally subjective. But you are, as a result of your subjective experience, making some pretty grand ultimate declarations.
Fair enough, Richard. Yeah, and if somebody manages to...
convince you otherwise?
Convince me otherwise, my mind is open, but until then...
It's not.
Sorry, Roger?
Until then, it's not.
Is that yes? Is that true?
Well, I'm willing to listen.
Right.
I've heard a lot of claims, and none of them have been convincing.
Yeah.
So at the moment, then, you do publicly declare that your authority is higher than the authority of Jesus of Nazareth.
I think the authority of Jesus of Nazareth is non-existent.
Yeah, so they don't...
There is no authority.
Right.
Okay, well, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's put this way. I just wanted to get to that point.
Well, you asked that very well, Roger. I was very impressed with that. That's probably one of the best worded questionings we've had so far. So thank you for putting an effort into that.
Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. I think we're talking about some heavy, deep things here, and the subjectivity of our experiences and absolute truths and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Jesus did make some pretty unbelievable claims. And if he did exist, unlike Tom Harper suggests, but like probably many, many other smarter people than Tom suggest that he did exist, we're left with, well, what, you know, who was he then? If he did exist, if he did roam, then who was he? Was he just another good prophet? Do you know who Fiona Horn is?
No.
Anatha Wolfkeep? How about that name?
Doesn't ring a bell.
No, she's a Wiccan who advocates pagan Christianity. Kind of seems like an oxymoron.
It would be difficult, but I would have to look at what she's advocating in detail
Here's a quote from her. In the early days of Christianity, Jesus Christ was readily accepted by many members of the old religion as a manifestation of their own eternal God. With his apostles, he was the leader of a coven of 13. In his parables of agriculture and pastoral imagery, Jesus expressed the language of the fertility mysteries. And in his miracles, he proved himself to be a magical healer and a powerful spirit of plenty, turning water into wine, causing the sea to be fruitful and multiply. His sacrificial death was foreshadowed, announced, and willingly accepted, and was in every detail identical to the most ancient patterns of the old nature religion. What's your response to that?
My response to that is that this is a person who has looked at the relationship between early Christianity and some of the old Orphic mysteries and whatnot, and concluded that, you know, very much as Mr. Harper did, that the mythology was simply swiped from pagan sources and not particularly original.
Right. Right. Okay. Boy, I've just been enjoying the research anyway. It's been my fun. Hi, who's this?
Hey, it's me, Drew. How you doing?
Good. Who's me?
It's Anthony.
Anthony, how are you? I'm glad you called. Folks, just to remind you, our phone number is 905-338-1250. The lines are absolutely full, so when someone hangs up, that's your opportunity to get in. Anthony, this is Richard. Richard Anthony, go ahead.
Richard, how you doing?
Okay.
Okay, I don't think anybody's going to convince Richard by throwing out Bible verses, and that's not the right way to go about convincing somebody of your ideas.
Glad you said that.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if you guys answered it, because I might have caught the conversation a little late. But, Richard, do you believe in an absolute moral authority, absolute truth?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, that's surprising, right? We would have said, thought, oh, no, he doesn't believe that. Now, explain that.
I think it's embodied in the Wiccan dictum that as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, do what you will. And that lays upon everybody an obligation to think before they act, to be darn sure that it doesn't hurt anybody.
Okay?
Okay. So you obviously believe in the truth that people are free to do what they want, considering, because this is in Wicca teaching, I understand, right?
Yeah, I think that free will is pretty well established.
Okay. And so if I'm free to frolic around with children, does that make it okay?
I said, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Frolicking around with children in the manner I think you're suggesting is full of hurt.
Okay, but do you understand that the roots of your beliefs obviously come from pagan beliefs, and which they did have sex with children and sacrifice them to your gods?
That is false.
I don't think so.
Now, that also rings true with me. There seems to be... Is that just one of those things we learned from Hollywood, or...?
That's one of those things that the Christian Church created in the Middle Ages when it was trying to stomp out paganism throughout Europe and spreading all sorts of lies about the competing old pagan religion.
Okay, but I believe that's false, because everything from Greek paganism to Roman paganism to Babylonian paganism, which all finds its roots, which Wicca finds its roots, always sacrifice virgins or children to Moloch or other deities, considering fertility gods and all that kind of stuff. So to say that it didn't happen, I think that's absolutely false.
That statement from you, sir, is absolutely incorrect and based on your own profound ignorance.
Right. Well, no. Well, it could be. I think that's unfair. I think it could be based on the research and readings that he's done. Just in the way that within the Christian tradition, there are theologians that believe in X and theologians that believe in Y, and you know, those some of those guys are long dead and gone, and we're still left wrestling with these issues. So whatever he has done his research in and read, et cetera, et cetera.
What I'm saying, hold on, Drew, let me just cut you off. What I'm saying is that I'm not saying that Wicca is currently involved in these activities.
No, but there's a bad history is what you're
saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that the Christian religion doesn't have a bad history.
No, exactly. Would you say there's no bad history in Wiccan?
Absolutely
Wicca?
Not.
Sorry?
Absolutely not.
So you're saying that there is bad history in Wicca?
There's bad history in paganism.
In paganism?
Yes.
Right. And I think that's what Tony's trying to say.
And Anthony, you know, pagan people went to war, one tribe against another,
right,
quite frequently. However, it didn't involve molesting children, because that was from time immemorial.
Against the creed.
Against pretty much everybody's creed.
Right.
Unless, of course, you're like really crackers.
Right. Well, no, I mean, there was a lot of that stuff going on in Rome. You know, the older guys hanging out with the younger guys and doing the deed. Right? Right, Anthony?
That's right. And also, I find it interesting that whether it's Wicca or black magic or Satanism, I find it also interesting that the whole idea between you know, paganism and all that thing is to find the deity within yourself so that you can achieve a level of deity, which is, I find it exactly, obviously the Bible is exactly opposite to that, which said, you know, when Satan came to Eve and said, you know, you should eat from this fruit so you can become gods, like gods, to find that deity within yourselves. So there's the polarities right there.
Sure.
I find interesting with all, you know, how Christianity and Judaism and Islam are completely polarized from all the other, you know, because Wicca, I mean, I don't want to compare you guys, but you guys are somewhat similar
to
paganism, to witchcraft, to all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's not denying that. Is that right?
No, and I mean, again, we have a person on the line who is quoting the Bible at me, and as far as I'm concerned, the Bible is a very interesting work of fiction, but
yeah,
no more.
Yeah, right. Right, okay. All right, hey, listen, I appreciate your call, Anthony.
Okay, thanks.
Good to hear from you. Thank you. 905-338-1250. A good lesson for all of us to be learning here. I mean, this is what Christians, I'm not saying, Anthony, you did this in particular, but this is what we're known, for doing for centuries is, well, the Bible says this, and the Bible says this, and the Bible says this. And if you don't believe in what the Bible is, you don't believe in the authenticity of the Bible or the supernatural influence of the Creator Yahweh behind the Bible, or then hello, where are you going? It doesn't make any sense. It's like me arguing using Mad Magazine, as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, although Mad Magazine is, in fact, even one stage seller.
Okay.
Only one stage.
Just one, though. That's right. Hi, who's this?
This is Joy.
Hi, Joy. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very well, Joy. Joy, this is Richard. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to ask the gentleman, what work does he do?
What work does he do?
Mm-hmm.
What work do you do?
I own and operate a religious supply and bookstore.
Where is that?
Toronto.
In Toronto.
I want to argue with him.
Okay.
The Bible said that you...
Hold on, you want to argue with him, the Bible said?
No, I don't argue with him. I just tell him what the Bible said.
Okay.
The Bible said you must believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Then he said, when you believe and do my commandment, I'll manifest myself to you. And Jesus had manifested himself to me in big time. I know he is real, and I'm asking the gentleman, read the Bible, and the Spirit of God will overshadow him and tell him the truth.
Will you read the historical books that the Wiccan Church is laying a lot of their foundations on?
What, the foundation? The foundation is from the way down in the Old Testament, where they divide themselves from the Almighty God.
Right. So, but if you're going to ask him to read the Bible, what are some of your books that you hunker down into?
I think some of them are the Havamal, the Odyssey, the Epic of Gilgamesh.
You don't want to read those things.
I don't want to read those things because they're evil spirits.
Because they're evil.
Yes, the evil spirit.
Right.
And he should believe in God, baptize in the name of Jesus,
right,
and repent of his sin, and do not encourage young people to go the other way.
All right. Appreciate your call. Thank you. That got a great distance down the road, didn't it? Hi, who's this?
Anna.
Anna, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well. Happy Halloween. No, I can't say that. Can't say that. Anna, this is Richard. Go ahead.
Hi. I guess I just really have a comment. You said something about how, in your world, Christ doesn't really matter, doesn't exist. Is that correct?
Yeah,
that's fair.
Sorry to answer for you, pardon me. Yep.
And then, a little while ago, you also said, and it's funny because when you speak, you're very calm and you're very laid back, relaxed. The only time I noticed that you were a little bit irked was when you said that it sort of bothers you, a religion where my God is the only God, right?
I think that religions that believe that their God is the one and only God are probably the ones that are most likely to create the most trouble in the world.
Right.
And Christianity and...
interestingly enough, considering that Christ doesn't bother you at all, he's the only one that said, he is the only way to God. So I think that deep down inside, you might think that Christ has nothing to do with you or doesn't bother you, but I think he really does bother you.
Because of the arrogant claims that he made, that he was the only way to God?
But my point is that he's saying that in his world, Christ, doesn't matter, doesn't exist, according to him, is fictional. But I think that deep down inside, somewhere, you know he exists. And you know what? And it really bothers you to hear that there is only one God.
Well, okay. Let's just pull that apart at the risk of jumping into a Dr. Phil moment here. Let's just pull that apart and go, to me, having been a follower of Christ for a number of years now, I still am amazed I think this is the most arrogant statement anybody has ever said in the face of the earth.
Absolutely.
I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No one comes to God except through me. It's the most arrogant thing anybody has ever said.
Absolutely.
Without question. And as is in, it was the case with C.S. Lewis and many others, that was enough for someone to go, are you kidding me? I need to look into this nonsense. Has that ever struck you in that way where you've gone, wow, if there is one God, then he probably, he or she, whatever, you know, or both, should stand out from amongst the rest. So here comes finally somebody who's made this sort of a claim, this Jesus person. I should check into this just at least for anything to shut everyone up and go, what a load of garbage. Has that ever played in your head? I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. You must have gone through a bit of a season of that stuff.
Well, I think that one has to judge any religious group or denomination or any other group, for that matter, by the way they behave. And
well, then we're toast.
Exactly.
But I don't follow Christians, though, Richard. I don't follow Christians at all. I follow Christ, and that's it. You can see, we've already talked about the differences between those things.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about the Christians, but you're saying the way to judge whether something is right or wrong as far as religious beliefs go is look at the people who believe in it.
Yes.
You know, I guess my point is that, you know, he's very laid back about everything, but the one thing that really disturbs him is that there is possibly someone saying that my God is the only God, and Christ is the only one out of every religion
Anna,
that ever said that.
Yeah, Anna, so what you're saying is, isn't it interesting that was the only time he got really excited
yes.
in the conversation?
And you know what? And I think that somewhere deep down inside you, Christ is trying to break through. And you know what? And maybe, you know, I can hear you laughing inside.
Yes.
I can hear you laughing, but you know what? And maybe he's trying to get to you, and you're trying to subdue it and push it down. And what's very interesting is that you consider Christ a fiction, and yet you have the God of the blacksmith, the baker God, like thousands of them, and yet they're not fiction to you.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
how can you be okay with a thousand different gods?
Well, because it's
not
as judgmental.
And you're not okay with one. And you're not okay with one. You're not okay with one because I think that, you know, you want to do it your way.
Okay. Anna, I appreciate your call.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
This isn't a newsflash to you. It's not like you've never heard this before. And we like to say things like, wow, you know, if that really gets under your skin, there must be something to it. And maybe that's the case. But would you say that you have spent any decent time investigating the monotheistic religions at all in your life?
I haven't made a super specialty out of it. That's for Christian scholars to do, to study the Christian God.
Yeah. Have you ever had any direct... Like, what's the weirdest supernatural experience you've had? I've asked that of Christians, right? You know, Jesus sat in the end of my bed, or I felt the presence of this, that, and the other thing. How about you? Have you ever had... there was an entity in the room, or Jesus was here, or have you ever had, there's two questions, supernatural experience, or any weird Jesus experience?
I can't say that I've had a weird Jesus experience, aside from, you know, people trying to cram Jesus down my throat.
Right, yeah. But, you know, sometimes we hear that some tribe over in Africa, you know, who don't know anything about it, all of a sudden Jesus literally appeared before them and there was some experience there. And people I've met at Mind Body Spirit Festivals have said the same thing. I have met Jesus.
No doubt they have.
Right. Okay.
I think the thing that some people might consider weird is encountering a deity speaking through the voice of another human being.
So you've encountered a deity who is speaking through somebody else?
Yes.
Right. A channeler. Or at that moment they were channeling.
I suppose channeling is as good a word as you're going to get, yes.
Sure. Okay. And has that been the thing that wigged you out the most?
It didn't wig me out.
No. But I mean, the coolest, you know, supernatural experience you've had, what would it be? Where you just went, guys, you're not going to believe this one.
In the process of doing worship service, being, well, I had to jump over something rather high and rather hot, and the feeling of, I'm going to land on my bad knee really wrong, and that feeling of just something grabbing me and carrying me over and setting me down.
Hmm.
That's a good example.
Okay. What about evil? You ever been, whoa, This is not good.
Certainly, I've encountered evil. I've done volunteer work in prisons. You encounter evil there.
Yeah, yeah. But supernaturally, any kind of supernatural experience with evil at all?
No, the evil that I have encountered has a tendency to be produced by
human. By people.
Yes.
Right. So you've never experienced any form of supernatural evil?
No, because the supernatural is not intrinsically evil. Even the Christian God isn't necessarily evil.
Right.
I know that. That was glib and cheap.
No, no.
Sorry.
No. I'm with you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Are you okay with some more calls?
Yeah, sure.
You okay? Because, you know, I don't want to take advantage of this. I'm enjoying this. Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Tony.
Tony, how you doing?
Not too bad, and yourself?
Very good. Tony, this is Richard. Go ahead.
Okay. The first question I had, I believe a caller called in recently, and he was sort of touching on the idea of, I guess, humans governing themselves or setting sort of like their own rules. And I believe one of the comments that were made was that you can basically do what you'd like to do, provided that it doesn't hurt anyone else. Now, in saying that, it sort of lays a foundation of saying that there's a truth or a set of rules that say this is right and this is wrong. Obviously, harming someone else is considered to be wrong.
But who decides what is harming someone else and what isn't harming someone else?
Yeah, that's exactly my question. How is that determined? Like, what determines what is right and what is wrong? Whether we'll even exclude someone else and just use it to the individual themselves.
Right. So I would say, Richard, is this a fair question, Tony? Richard, what's your moral compass? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, more or less, yeah. What's your moral compass then?
Okay, I think that I did describe the basic rule as do what you want, as long as you don't hurt anybody.
But then we have to define what hurting someone is and isn't.
And then one has to look past that and be intelligent enough to predict, will somebody think they have been hurt?
Okay, but we've got a lot of sucky pants here in Canada that get hurt and offended over just everything.
Well, that's a matter of figuring out whether a person is legitimately been hurt.
You're right, and how do you, that's what we're and saying. How do you figure that out?
Well, that's what our entire code of civil law, so non-criminal law, is all about.
So now are you saying if you've broken the law against somebody, then that's hurt, but if you haven't broken the law, then it's not hurt?
No. I'm saying that you have to make sure you don't hurt anybody before you act. And the law is one guide.
Well, are there other guides to that?
Oh, yeah. People's feelings are probably the more important one.
Right.
If I do something and you think it has hurt you, then you're going to say to me, like, that was not a good thing to do,
and
you feel hurt. And it was my obligation not to do anything.
Yeah. And I think Jesus would be down with that whole thing as well. Like, if you have hurt somebody and you don't think you hurt them, is it going to kill you to apologize anyway? Like, it's all about love. It really is. It should be about love.
Sorry. Well, in saying that, though, and a lot of the examples that we've drawn it involves hurting someone else. But what about actually governing oneself, like hurting myself, say, for example? Whether that be, I know this is drastic, like saying suicide or, let's just say, drugs or anything of that sort. Is there a right way of governing oneself or a wrong way of governing oneself? Like, is that considered to be acceptable in the Wicca religion? Or?
Good question. Go ahead.
Well, when it comes to governing oneself, there are all sorts of smaller guideposts. There are rules, for example, of hospitality, which go to maintaining one's relations with other people in the world. There are rules of being moderate, not burning yourself out on drugs or alcohol and things like that. There are rules that are, well, they are not the ultimate rule. They're certainly good guidelines to advise on conduct. Every once in a while, one may, in fact, decide that for security reasons one has to be less hospitable than one wants, but you weigh those rules. And
okay,
that still comes under the whole rubric of saying it's up to you to think about the results of your actions.
Right, right. Okay, Tony, final comment from you?
Yeah, okay. Can I actually just to touch on that response there?
Yeah, yeah.
Was to say, I would say I took interest in this Wicca religion then, and you mentioned that, you know, you have to think or use common sense when conducting oneself, if that be the case. If I was a part of that religion, but I continue to, say, you know, use drugs excessively or harm myself excessively, is there a consequence to doing so? Like, is there a penalty that I would face? And the reason why I ask that question, just to kind of get an understanding,
yeah,
I believe according to the Christian religion, they believe in, like, say, for example, sin. And you can't continue to go on in sin. There's a penalty for that. So, you know, if you understand that you have sin in your life from the Christian perspective, you seek to be redeemed.
Right, but Richard, your response, let me just see if I can get this. Your response would be, well, yeah, we're not talking about sin and breaking some higher law of a God who condemns. We're talking about if you're overusing drugs and self-harming yourself, the consequence is you're going to die. You're going to get sick. You're not going to be able to live life the way you needed to live life here. Would that be the consequence of that?
That's one of the consequences, and other consequences are that the feelings of your loved ones are going to be,
so you're hurting,
be
hurting
worrying
other
people and stuff like that, yeah.
Okay, that's totally understandable.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your call, Tony. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for
your
time.
Thank you, yeah. Let me just read something to you here that I want your opinion on. In most neo-pagan thought, eventually all dogs go to heaven, so to speak. That's in quotes. Over much striving in many lifetimes, all souls will eventually return to God, Goddess, or perhaps continually happily learning through continuous reincarnations. Fair enough?
I'm not sure that I followed all of what you just read.
Okay. Would repeating it help, or is it just too polluted?
Why don't you take it one little bit at a time?
In most neo-pagan thought, eventually all dogs go to heaven. That's in parentheses.
Dogs?
Well, that's the phrase, you know,
okay.
It's like a hyperbole. You know?
Okay.
In other words, no one's burning and going to hell and there's no real, you know. Over much striving in many lifetimes, all souls will eventually return to God or Goddess or perhaps continue happily learning through continuous reincarnations. So you either reach God or Goddess status or you keep doing the reincarnating thing.
There is a substantial body of thought that suggests something like that, yeah.
Okay. Of course, the Bible, while offering the saving grace of Christ to all, does not allow anyone to presume all will choose to partake of God's love. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for all of us to die once, then afterwards. Judgment. It forbids us to presume, us Christians, to presume any further opportunities after this life. So what I'm trying to set up here is there are some key differences in what Christianity teaches, what the Bible teaches, and what Wicca teaches. And so if it was me, and somebody teaches something contrary to our foundational belief system, then I would see a chasm there. I wouldn't see any of this ecumenism. I would say, well, hold on, no, you can't be a Christian and be a pagan. You can't be a Christian and be a Wicca. If you're a Christian, you believe that stuff. If you believe this stuff, you believe our stuff. There is a difference. You and I, we disagree on this stuff.
Yeah, but there are some people who do, in fact, try to say, let's see, we believe in many gods, and Christ is sort of part of his own pantheon, and we can accept Christ as being just another pagan god.
Yeah, except for these kind of comments, which totally gnaw away at the foundation of the Wiccan belief system. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, no one comes to God except through me.
And in which case we think that's an expression of vanity, and
Jesus was just having a bad moment.
Well,
no, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the Jesus scriptures do chip away at the foundational belief systems or belief patterns of the Wiccan religion.
They certainly disagree with, yes.
Yeah, so I can't, that's where I'm going. Like, look, originally, Richard, when I was trying to figure out what I want to do with my spiritual life, because I knew there was more than just matter and narcissism here in North America. When I was trying to figure this stuff out, you do the comparison. That's what everybody with a brain does. With access to all this information, we do a comparison. And when I lined up all the religious stuff out there, it was this, I am the way stuff, I am the only way to God stuff, that kind of went, are you kidding me? That is it. Who says that?
But apparently you went that way anyway.
I did, because after trying to look into this stuff and go, really? Is it really it? Because what I was thinking, Richard, was if there is one all-being, all-powerful creator, God of gods, whatever, one major entity, then you would think that that one entity would stand out far above the rest.
I would think that there are all sorts of political reasons, that people have used everything up to and including military force for a few thousand years to establish Christianity as what it is today. And I don't think that...
So you're saying I'm being affected by the culture in which I grew up in?
Absolutely.
Right. Right. So if you had grown up in Buddha land, you would have been a Buddhist?
Probably.
Right.
I mean, Wicca has borrowed from Buddhism.
It has.
The whole,
Wicca has borrowed from a lot of stuff, man. It really has.
It has.
Neopaganism is the modern revival of the ancient nature faiths that generally see gods as revealed in nature, both male and female, celebrate the cycles of life and death and rebirth, and channel the divine natural energies via ritual and magic. Wicca is a British form of neo-paganism made public in the 1940s, 50s, whatever, by Gerald Gardner.
Yes.
Mixing traditional coven structure and law, Celtic myth and folk magic, and Western ritual magic, including Kabbalah, speaking of Madonna, Masonic Rosicrucian, I can never say that word.
Rosicrucian?
Thank you.
Yes.
And Crowleian beliefs and practices. We are still on. We're okay? We're doing good so far?
Yeah.
We're stretching a bit? Other pagan faiths, ancient and modern, include some Native American faiths, some forms of Buddhism, most of Hinduism.
Okay, you've gone beyond what's accurate at that point.
Okay, so stop me. What do you say? What's not accurate about that?
The people who originally created Wicca as this new form of neo-paganism, mm-hmm. Knew almost nothing about, for example...
Hinduism?
Gerald Gardner had served a term as a postmaster in Malaya, so he probably knew a little bit about those religions of Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Wicca quickly ditched the Crowley influences.
Okay.
One of the people who...
But yet still part of the foundational...
It's in there somewhere.
Yeah. What about Voodooin, a.k.a. Voodoo? Voudoun? Is that how you pronounce it?
Voodooin is a good way to pronounce it, yeah.
Is there part of that in the history of Wicca?
Almost none.
Almost none. Okay. Santeria?
Santeria, same thing.
Oh, it's Santeria. Why didn't I get that one? I knew that one. Asatru?
Asatru.
Asatru. There's Greek-Roman pantheon?
Let me go back to try to do a better job of answering
Please.
Your question.
Yeah.
To the end of his days, Gerald Gardner was looking for the true name. He thought that of all of the goddesses, if they came together to become like the great goddess. Mm-hmm. And that's why they talk about the goddess instead of goddesses. If all of the goddesses came together, then she would have a name. And so to the end of his days, Gerald Gardner was trying to find the name of the goddess, and he never did. And the reason, as far as I'm concerned, is that there are many goddesses with many names, and to pick one is like trying to pick one of your own children. You just can't do it.
Hmm. Okay. All right. I'm really appreciating you clearing up this stuff. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Gary.
No, it's Drew.
Oh, no, sorry. It's Jerry speaking.
Oh, hi, Jerry speaking. Just turn your radio off for me. That'd be great.
Okay.
All right, Jerry, this is Richard. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, in regards to the goddess or multiple gods, you were talking about different gods earlier in your show.
Yes, yes, yes.
Is there actually a central god of sorts?
There is, in Wiccan theology, reference to the goddess, who is supposed to be all of the other goddesses combined, and that the Wicca of the founders of the Wicca referred to the goddess all the time. Basically, the personification of the feminine force, the generative force. And so, unfortunately, she doesn't have a name because she's all of those other goddesses together.
And is this goddess, is she like a creator of, say, mankind? Is that what she represents, or apart from being the god of other gods?
Well, no, she's not the goddess of other goddesses or the goddess of gods. She is the thing that keeps on creating, not created. Goddess continues to create because women continue to create. Women continue to bring children into the world, and Mother Earth continues to push up plants. And so this is not in the past tense. Goddess creates.
Why are you asking those questions?
Well, I'm trying to compare it to the I guess the Christian faith of that view, in that they've got a god that they believe to be their creator. So if this goddess is like the god of goddesses, or multiple gods for that matter, I was wondering if that is considered to be the Wicca's, I guess, creator of sorts, the creator of mankind, if that be the case, or of humans,
right,
for that matter.
Right, Richard.
Well, mankind, at least according to Darwin, came out of apes, and apes came out of some other life form, and that came out of some other life form, going back to a zap of lightning in the primordial soup. And at every stage, both goddess and god have been part of the creative process, and that's why they are still part of the creative process.
Right, but if we do we progress to godhood? Can we progress to godhood status ourselves?
It's unclear because we don't know what happens after we die. Most of us don't come back with a full set of memories of. That's the great mystery that I think is, in some sense...
But is there any teaching in the Wiccan Church that says there is a progression to God status?
There is a borrowing from Buddhism, which suggests that people get better and better as people and eventually...
become gods.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. So
it can be done.
Right. So if that's the reality, then... in the evolution theory, where does all that sort of fit in? Because if we came from amoeba or we came from Big Bang, where was the original god or goddess that progressed from human?
I don't understand.
Was there an original god?
An original god?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
So where did God come from is what we're saying.
Where did God come from? I think God's deity comes from the fact that there is something inherently sacred about this microphone and everything else. And just because it's here and is doing something,
right,
it is, in a sense, good. It partakes of a spiritual goodness. And so do you, and so do all the listeners. And that's the pantheistic part of Wiccan belief, is that there is something essentially... formed of God stuff about everything, and therefore...
But we don't name the microphone. Like, this microphone is not named the goddess Mike, or God Mike. You know what I'm saying? we don't put proper names to these things, so we have...
We call it microphone, yeah.
Right. But it's, we're not saying that this is God. We're not saying this microphone is God.
No, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny little sliver of deity.
It's a sliver of deity.
Yeah. And if you take all of those slivers of deity,
but you understand,
together,
you have
deity.
You went into the. Sorry, you know what? I've hijacked your question. Go ahead. I'll shut up.
I'm actually enjoying this conversation just because I'm trying to get an understanding of I guess the creation of this goddess. Sorry, or where it all started. And if we're using the theory of evolutionism, or evolution for that matter, saying that we're getting better, then. I mean, would you say that the state that the world is in now is much better than
when
we started? Like,
yeah. I mean, obviously, no. We're not. Do you think we're in a better state than? Do you think we're getting better and better? It kind of seems like
we're... I don't necessarily think we're getting better and better. I think that we are getting We're just at a different place than we were before, but I'm not sure that it's a better place. That's a sort of sets up a value judgment that I'm not prepared to make.
Yeah, yeah. See, I see it from a biblical worldview, and therefore I go, yeah, we're moving further and further away from a biblical worldview. So therefore, I make the judgment that yeah, we're not in as better a place. Mind you, I look back on some horrific history moments and go, that was not a good biblical place either.
But, you know, I mean, if you look at Catholic theology, they believe in saints, and saints are people who are closer to deity, and then they, they get asked to intercede with the ultimate deity and so on. And there are, you mentioned Santeria and Fudun, and those are religions in which the saints get equated with old pagan deities.
Right, right.
And
okay. All right. I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Again, that evolutionary aspect that you brought into it, I kind of go, well, you know, if we can progress to godhood, that means that there should be some original God stuff at the very beginning. I mean, Christians get asked this all the time. Where did God come from? And that's an unanswerable question, because apparently God always is. God always has been, and our minds are too finite to grasp that concept. But in the Wiccan theology, if we can progress to godhood, then gods may not have been there always.
God stuff, good stuff.
Mm.
The potential for a good life has always been there,
mm-hmm.
And so we can pull together that potential for a good life and eventually get a really good life. And then after that, if we have had a truly exceptional life, then people can remember us as somebody who is of deity.
And this is going to sound like I'm being a smart apple here, for lack of a better word. Can this microphone progress to godhood?
I think the atoms in that microphone will eventually dissolve and go back into the great landfill, and then at some point that will be reformed into something else, and then that will be reformed into something else,
right.
And it's a continuous cycle, just like recycling, but I don't think there's necessarily an end necessary to have an end to it.
Right. Right. Okay. Hi, who's this?
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah, how are you today?
Okay.
Do you have a headache like I do?
Not quite.
I'm trying to get this. I really am. Sarah, go ahead.
I'd just like to ask you, if it's
Sorry, for those who have just tuned in, we're speaking with Richard James, who is the High Priest of the Wiccan Church of Canada. That's who we're talking to, folks. Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay. Why is it it's impossible for you to believe in one God?
Why is it impossible for you to believe that there's only one God? Is that what you're asking?
Why is it impossible for him to believe that there's only
one God? Why is it impossible for you to believe that?
Because
of the arrogance of it?
Well, the arrogance of it might have some credibility if there was any probability that it was true, but we look at various claims of our God is better than your God, and people announcing that our God is different from your God, and they're all saying my God is better than your God, and in all cases, it seems to me to be just a statement of vanity, you know.
So because the people who have followed that God have been jerks over time,
then
you poo-poo it?
Yeah.
Because if there is a real God, one God, just one God, and the people who follow that God have somehow found out that this is true, there is only one God, you'd think those people would go, hey, folks, there's only one God. You wouldn't expect them to go, well, no, yeah, there could be many gods. Yeah, it might be this thing. You know, they're going to be a bit ballsy about it. They're going to say, hello, there's only one God. Right? Unfortunately, the way the Christians have done that over the years have left a wake of destruction in many paths.
Which somewhat damages the credibility.
Sure, sure. But just because the followers of this God are jerks, And I wouldn't say all of them. Let's be real here. We're doing a wide brush, right? And I'm the first one to look at the Christian church and go, give me a break. I mean, I really am. If you've listened to the show, which I don't think you have, I don't have many fans in the church scene here in Toronto. But I just go, wow, you're going to say there is no one God because all these monotheistic followers are jerks?
Well, let me tell you. In front of my home, I have had a group of a dozen people soaping my windows and chanting, "We curse you in the name of Jesus. We curse you in the name of Jesus. We curse you in the name of Jesus." And if I don't want to be associated
with them, that's how you're calling Jesus,
you know,
then
I'm not going to go
okay.
there.
All right. Any final question, Sarah, here?
I'd just like to, If those people that did that, is it something that was done to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
so, again, not to get into a Dr. Phil moment here, but one of the reasons you're ticked off or not buying into the Jesus stuff is because the Jesus people have been jerks to you, correct? One of the reasons.
I didn't buy into them before.
No, but
they were cursing me because I didn't buy into their
right
silliness.
But it still is one of the reasons why you're not buying into this Jesus stuff.
Ah, I suppose that's going to be something to consider in the future.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Would you call yourself a God?
No.
Okay.
I got
that
one.
But yet, the creator, Jesus that came and he said to those people that where you were speaking to at the time, he said, if the word of God comes to you and you call yourself God, how is it that you...
No, he doesn't call himself God.
No, he said, when he quote that, the word of God, you call them God who the words have come to. So why is it impossible to accept me as being a God?
I'm not sure I understand your question, but I will try to answer it by saying, David Koresh, Jimmy Jones, they thought they were God. They were wrong. Jesus, same deal.
Okay. All right, Mary. Thanks. Sarah, thanks for your call. Appreciate
okay.
it. Yeah, very much. Ooh, that's a hurt. That kind of gets me a little bit. The comparison with Jim Jones and David Koresh, that sucks.
If the shoe fits.
Really?
Okay. Nero thought he was God, too.
Yeah, that's a little better, maybe, but
not much.
No, not much.
So, but there's a pagan example that I don't want to follow.
Yeah. So you're saying that lots of people over the years have claimed it to be God. What makes this Jesus any different?
Exactly.
Right. Even though non-biblical authors, historians, Josephus, etc., have agreed with the claims that this man was followed by great miracles.
Yeah, but they weren't there.
Yeah, but they have studied stuff and read stuff that we certainly trust all their other writings, but when it comes to Jesus, we don't?
I don't necessarily trust all of their other writings.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. But there seems to be some historical validity there. He's not saying that this Jesus was God. He's saying that this Jesus certainly caused quite a stir and had many miraculous things following him. Caused quite a stir.
John Allegro claimed that Jesus was a mushroom.
Right. And Tom Harper claimed more bizarre things, and I just, the ludicrousy and arrogance that came out of Tom's mouth in the show was just phenomenal. So, anyway. All right. Well, we got to wrap it up. We still got people calling, man. It has just been tremendous having you on the show. You have made me dig into material and books that I haven't looked at for a long, long time.
Okay.
I have some respected professors that I've had over the years, and after reading their material, I thought, wow, yeah, now I know why I respected them. To me, the biggest point that I want to get across here to our folks is, let's be clear on what you guys are and what you aren't. You're not a bunch of Satan worshipers. You don't, Halloween, you're not sitting around killing cats and babies, correct?
No.
Just thought we'd clear that one up. And we need to, if we're going to come across and soap your windows, and that's the way we're going to respond to you, we need to hear flat out that this is not working, people. This has no bearing on reality whatsoever. As a matter of fact, it's just putting everybody else back about 20 steps. So knock it off. And if you really are concerned for Richard's spiritual life, well, then pray for him. Pray that in one of these supernatural encounters he has, that all of a sudden, whoa, there's Jesus right there. That would be a start. But my goodness. And first of all, we need to know what we're talking about. We need to own our own garbage before we point the accusatory finger. And I think there needs to be dialogue here, which is why we've had you on the show today.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
Any final words from you, Richard, to our listeners? You've heard from a lot of the callers. Final thoughts.
It is possible to think about the universe as a place of perpetual struggle between good and evil. But Wiccans and pagans don't see it that way. Wiccans look at the universe, and what they see is a perpetual meeting, not between good and evil, but between God and goddess, masculine and feminine, who come together in all sorts of new and wonderful and interesting ways to create life. And that's what we're all about.
Okay. Richard, thank you. Again, I appreciate your time. Folks, you are listening to The Drew Marshall Show, and we've just been speaking with Richard James, the High Priest of the Wiccan Church of Canada. And up next, a gentleman by the name of Kim Paffenroth, tough name to say, very interesting gentleman as well. He's the author of Gospel of the Living Dead. Check this out. Zombies are back, according to the New York Times, and well, they're reporting on a new crop of zombie films and books and computer games. So why is there such an enduring fascination with the undead? It's more than just gore. Zombie movies apparently offer insights into human nature and even into theological concepts such as sin and redemption. Now, I don't get this, but we're going to speak with this gentleman named Kim, who is a scholar known for his studies of St. Augustine and Flannery O'Connor. He turns his attention to the master of the zombie flick, George A. Romero, in his new book, Gospel of the Living Dead, George Romero's Vision of Hell on Earth. Should make for an interesting discussion. And then we're going to open up the phone lines to you folks one more time here on the show. Do you think that we can communicate to the dead? That'll be a question we'll come back probably after 4 o'clock and ask you folks about. And I don't know, what do you think about visiting the grave of your loved one? Is that something you do? My mom died a number of years ago, about 17 and a half years ago. I think I've only been to her gravesite twice. You know, is that bad? Do you visit the graves a lot? They have these bones that they found at the 9/11 Twin Tower site. And if they were your loved ones that were killed and missing there, would you want to know if that was their bones? Kind of weird discussions here, folks, but it's our getting ready for Halloween show. You know, we got to do this kind of stuff. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back with some zombie stuff.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.
You know the work site like the back of your hand, and you know the right workwear makes your day easier. Now, you need to know Work Authority by Iseco. Work Authority offers head-to-toe workwear solutions for the people who know. Iseco, known for decades for the best in safety footwear, with over 300 styles including J.B. Goodhue, Hush Puppies, Carhartt, Red Wing, and many more. Work Authority, your solution for industrial-strength workwear from those who know. Visit us at over 50 stores and mobile outlets across Canada, including 3300 Fairview Street, Burlington, and Green Lake Center, Newmarket.